Blog Talk Radio.
Lavina Polite, and with me I have a special co-host this evening, Minister Teresa Sanders. Minister Sanders, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are y'all tonight?
Good, how are you?
I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. Definitely a pleasure to come on as a co-host tonight, and we're going to enjoy the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We definitely are. We definitely are. We actually have a special guest with us as well. Oh, we're going to bring on Reverend Henry Sanders as well. Reverend Sanders?
Yes, hello.
Hello. You're here with Minister Teresa Sanders, and I'm excited.
I'm glad to be on there with everyone.
Yes, we had a wonderful time last week.
Beg pardon?
Yes, we had a wonderful show last week. You know,
oh, yes.
We just want to recapture that dose of the Holy Ghost this week. A pleasure to have you, Reverend Henry Sanders, definitely one of my mentors and my uncle, so I'm going to be a bit prejudiced here. He's the best, of course. But it's a pleasure to have you on the show, and thanks to the host, Lavina Polite, you know, for inviting us back. God bless her as well, truly an anointed
Amen.
Woman of God herself.
Thank you.
Yes, she is.
Well, GQ Palace, we thank both of you for joining us. We had a wonderful time last week, Sunday, and I was actually still, like, talking about it, you know, the tag teaming and just the fact that we were all able to come together and just worship, just come together, just worship and bring everyone together and listen to so many different, you know, pastors and evangelists, just being able to be in everyone's presence. You know, it's truly an honor, and I'm, you know, truly blessed for that. So I just want to, start off, you know, by saying that today is a wonderful day, and I'm thanking God for waking me up this morning. And you know, even though, you know, had a couple bad days, but you know, was able to shake it off and, you know, come back together and realize what I'm doing, you know, and not lose focus. You know, so I just want to say I'm thankful for God waking me up this morning and just starting me on my way and just giving me the courage, the wisdom, and the strength that I need to get by on a day-to-day basis. You know, so I just, you know, wanted to say what I'm thankful for, you know, this morning, this evening. Minister Sanders, how you doing?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I am blessed. You know, Satan is truly busy, but God is even busier. You know, my testimony today is that I'm still here, of course, that I can just be on tonight and have the privilege of networking with you. Since the show last Sunday, I've gotten over 500 friend requests, you know, and people wanting to, you know, donate to the ministries, Revelation of God Restoration Ministries, you know, and really, really supporting the cause. You know, our vision is to go out and minister to people in nursing homes, you know, in prisons, provide them with Bibles, you know, and just give them that hope, the love of Jesus. And I tell you what, this show is truly a blessing. And I thank you, woman of God, for the Lord leading you to me and you giving me the opportunity that you did. And so I'm honored. I'm honored tonight. I'm honored. And that's my testimony of restoration. The Lord is truly restoring my personal life and spiritual life and, you know, putting me in network with so many people like you, you know. And so that's a wonderful testimony, life, speaking life.
Yes. And how you doing, Reverend Sanders?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Had a couple bad days, but I was able to shake it off. So I can say I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed, and you know, and I owe all of that, you know, to my Lord and Savior. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, people like to say the devil. I'm not even gonna say the devil. I'm just gonna say people. You know, and just people in general. You know, with the, you know, wrong intentions or, you know, just their, you know, own personal motives and just things not really, you know, working out the way that it should. But I'm truly blessed, and I'm thankful that, you know, I can sit and I can pray about it and I ask God to give me an answer, just show me a clue, just give me an idea. And he did, and I answered, you know. So, and I'm definitely going to always, you know, obey him, you know. So I'm thankful and I'm blessed.
Well, I would tell people not to take for granted the power of the devil, because all sickness, diseases, all the evils of this world are of the devil. And so oftentimes, when you are a soldier of the cross of God, you now become a threat to the security and the stability of hell's ability to have control over people's lives. So you're always a marked person in the spirit. If we stay prayed up and in touch with God, God always delivers us. A lot of times things come to test our faith. Sometimes they're not very lengthy, and sometimes they are lengthy. But we always have to remember that we are in a spiritual warfare, and there are no rules of engagement, no protocol, anything goes when it comes down to it. So with for Satan is concerned, he comes today in so many cleverly disguises simply because so many people just don't know enough about God's word to truly recognize him. And I think that's probably one of the greatest dilemmas in the world today is how many people who are actually serving the devil, who is standing on the platform of God using a false doctrine to promote his own agenda. People got to understand, you got to stand on the whole truth of God. When the Bible speaks about putting on the whole armor of God, all that is just referring to the whole truth, not parts and bits and pieces of it. Because you're not going to be able to stand, you're not going to have an armor of protection to keep you safe. And normally whenever the devil starts shooting those fiery arrows at you and it hits one of those exposed areas, and it starts burning away at your face. Normally, it's hard to get your face back once it has been burned away with one of those fire arrows. So I often stress to people how important it is to really know the truth of the word. And don't just take it to be a true statement because someone said it, it sounded okay, or it appeals to something in your nature at that time it was spoken. But to do some research and to make sure that it has some kind of relevance to the actual word of God itself. I've been out and heard a lot of preachers preach sermons and say things, and when I got home, I could not find no scriptural relevance to support it. So it was just a thing of their own particular mindset. So I tell a lot of people just be careful about that. It's a lot of false prophets out here today, and we really need to know what a prophet is and what the Bible describes one is. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are holy all the time.
Nice.
You have evil prophets just like you have holy prophets. And people have to understand a prophet always is just simply someone who speaks on behalf of another person. You go down into the 7th chapter of Exodus, and God tells Moses, I'm going to make Aaron your prophet, and I'm going to make you as a god before Pharaoh. So in other words, God now was the prophet. I mean, Moses was the prophet of God, and then Aaron was the prophet of Moses. In other words, Aaron spoke to Pharaoh what Moses spoke, and then Moses spoke what God told him. And you have a lot of confliction in that certain areas in the church today, where it is written the writings of Moses or the laws of Moses. Well, they were not never ever the laws of Moses. They were the laws of God just spoken by Moses.
Right. Amen.
Yeah. So, you know, when you have those few bad days, you know, just don't get too discouraged because they come. You know, the devil and his hellhounds are really on our tracks until we make it in the glory land. We don't have no protection but God as we run our Christian race, but we have to understand that Satan is always after us. And when we make the glory land, then we have completed the journey. That's why the last mile of the race, as they say, is sometimes so hard to run because you're closer than you were, and now the adversary comes at you now with more vigor, with more ferociously, you know, than he did in the beginning. Because he figured, you know, you don't have as far to go, so I've got to really put out a serious effort now to bring you up under the captivity and bondage of my doctrine. Either you're going to escape my pursuit. So, you know, those bad days are going to come. But what I look at, and I tell a lot of people nowadays, I don't too much worry about problems that come as long as I have solutions, because God will always give a solution to a problem. Now, on the other hand, when you have problems that come and there are no solutions, then you need to consider and study your ways now. So sometimes, you know, you may have problems that doesn't have solutions simply because you might be in the wrong place just at the wrong time. You may not be where God wants you to be. And I often say that, you know, when people talk about answering the call of God in their life, it is so important to be where God wants you to be and not where someone else tells you you need to be. People can send you a thousand places and not be where God wants you to be. And only God tells you that. I tell folks, the devil has no power over our spirit. That's why when we go in our secret closet and pray, spirit to spirit, it bypasses all human understanding as well as all human interventions. You eliminate any possibility of error. God will never, ever, ever send your mail to somebody else's mailbox. It's always directly sent to you in the spirit. And
amen.
we also have a clean heart now, to be able to receive in the spirit, because if you remember, all sacrifices were made on the altar. Well, the Bible teaches us now that we are the temple of God. So because our heart now is part of our altar, it has to be pure. That from this pure place now, a sacrifice can be made. So you have to be careful what you allow to come into your holy temple. You have to keep your temple holy. And that's a very important. I think so many people in the world, they just don't. They say, well, it's my body to do what I want, but Scripture is also a great price to pay for you, the blood of Jesus. Very high, there's a high price in some books. The blood of Jesus. So we have to keep our temple holy. We keep our protection, because the Spirit, the Word of God now in you, nourishes and feeds your spirit. It is rightly called the bread of life, because that is its purpose. It feeds your spirit, and then it feeds your soul as well. So that these two now can have dominance over the cravings of the flesh. You know, we all know that the flesh is contrary against the spirit, and they always war against one another. But Christ even spoke of it in the 26th chapter of Matthew when he went in the garden, and he said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. He had a willing spirit. If you don't have a willing spirit that's been nourished by God in prayer and fasting, a lot of times the flesh always runs. The flesh does not want to be hurt. The flesh wants to have it its way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, a lot of times you may receive a trial, just test you by the devil. It's no particular way that may come, but they come. I face them every day. You know, I get out here a lot of days. I just have, it's just something all day long. But, you know, that's why I say my daily prayer every day before I leave the house, for protection while I'm out here in the world. It's just forces, battalions of demonic forces that have been released in the world today to attack the people of God. And you, if you're not aware of it, and if you take it for granted, the fact it's not something that has no power, you're sadly mistaken. I can be sometime at home and feel like something hit my hand and knock a glass over or something like that, the water and stuff like that. And I used to didn't pay no attention, but as I've gotten older, I paid more attention today. And I know I have a steady hand. I don't have no kind of nerve disorder or anything like that. But it's just how angry Satan is with me right now. And he's angry with everyone who is a servant of God.
I agree 110% with that. I definitely agree. What we're going to do is we're going to go to a song, and then when we come back from the song, we're going to take a couple callers, okay?
That's good. Yes, you stay here.
Yeah.
was actually from the Color Purple soundtrack, God is Trying to Tell You Something. I went to bed, you know, last night, and, my mind was just moving, you know. And I knew it was moving for a reason, but I couldn't really, like, just say, you know what, okay, give me my answer, you know. So I went to bed, and when I woke up this morning, and I had this song on my mind, you know. So I said, let me see if I could find it, you know, to play it. And you know what, and I can honestly say for anyone who doesn't pay attention, just pay attention, you know. Pay attention to the signs, to, you know, be careful what you pray for. You know, because when you ask for signs of something, or a sign something's not right, or help me see this clearly, you know, the answer's already there. And to me, I believe in my spirit that you know the answer's there. It's just, you know, sometimes I guess we need clarification, you know. So I'm going to say I had to go with that one just because I said, you know what, God is definitely trying to tell me something. I need to pay attention, you know, just pay attention. And, you know, all aspects, you know, work, family, you know, just life itself. So I just wanted to, you know, play that and, you know, just bring everyone back to a movie that was so powerful as well, you know, where that movie was big. And we had at my place of employment, I actually had patients that was singing, you know, part of the song. So I was like, okay, you know, so it's bigger than I thought, you know. But what we're going to do is we're going to go to our first caller. Welcome to GQ Power Spiritual Sunday. Can I have your name, please?
Hello, this is Carmella.
Hi, Carmella. How are you?
I'm blessed.
That's good. You're here with Minister
Sanders.
You're here with Minister Sanders and Reverend Henry Sanders.
Hello, how are you all?
How are you?
I'm doing good. Like I said, I'm blessed. You know, I just want to call in and thank God for another day. And if at all possible, if I could hear Rance Allen and Paul Porter, it's you that I trust, because that's all I put. That's the only person I put my trust in.
Okay. So usually, what we do, Minister Sanders and Reverend Sanders, is we allow the callers to call in and say what they're thankful for, and you know, give their testimony. But also, you know, if they request a song within the beginning of the show, and we can, you know, upload it for them into our studio, then we, you know, we'll play the song that they have requested. If you could just say the name of it again for me, please.
It's You That I Trust by Rance Allen and Paul Porter.
Okay. All right. So just continue to listen in. Do you guys want to give her any words of encouragement?
Yes, I need it.
And then special guest Henry Sanders, would you like to give encouragement?
Well, I'm just trying to get an understanding of kind of what she's got going on. I've got a CD by Rance Allen that I made with that particular song. It's one of my favorites. Yeah, I love that song. And a bunch of songs that he has made. But let me first ask you, what kind of do you have going on today?
Like Lavina said, just life itself. You know, I had actually tried to move. They were said that I had the home, and when it came time for me to move, it was given to someone else. You know, I'm just going through a few things. My stepdaughter lost her mother on Monday, you know, and it's just, I don't know. Yeah, like she said, I feel like God is trying to tell me something as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm been praying. I'm going to continue to pray. You know, that things will work itself out. You know, and I definitely trust in God, and I know it's Him that's waking me up every morning. You know, starting me on my way, whatever the reason is. You know, but it just seemed like so much is going on. Had a shooting right here next door to me Friday. So, you know, these are some of the reasons I wanted to move. You know, it just seemed like so much is going on, you know, and I'm praying that I'm not the target. You know, I could be the innocent person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, the thing I would say to you is simply this. Let me put it like this here. We all know the story in the Bible of Lot in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was a very evil city. It practiced a lot of wicked imaginations. When God came by Abraham and told Sarah that she was going to have a baby, and she laughed, they were on their way there to that city. And the Bible tells us that Abraham asked God what he spared for it. There were 50 just men in there. God said, I spared for 50. Then he asked him what he spared for 40. Then he asked what he spared for 30. And he said, well, how about 20? And then he said, well, how about 10? God said, well, there are 10 just men in the city. He said, I'll spare for 10. But anyway, the Bible tells us that Lot was not as they were. And so oftentimes we are caught up in situations where we are not like everyone that is around us. And don't be surprised how difficult it is to just make a change and get out of that environment. But
right.
I can sit here today and tell you that it can be done, and it's always worth doing. I think one of the most heartfelt stories I've heard is I was going down to Florence, South Carolina, to Bruce Hall to speak to some of the addicts down there. And this one lady came, and she was saying that there was a drive-by. A shooting had happened in the area where she stayed at because her boyfriend had, I think, taken some drugs from one of the big drug dealers. And she said her and her kids, they packed all they could in the car, and they just started heading south. She didn't have no family to call. She just got in the car and started riding. And she made it as far as Florence, South Carolina. And I think she said she got to a truck stop or something. Anyway, make a long story short, she was about out of gas. And she met this man. She was sitting out there and something just touched him. I guess God just touched his heart, and he walked over and asked her, did she need any help? She went to crying, and she told her what had happened and everything. And she said, I don't know where I'm going. I just know I need to get away from there. So he told her, I need a worker. He said, I run a janitorial service. He said, and I came to work. And the guy is not sure, but he's been doing that quite often. He said, I'm just really ready to dismiss him. He said, if you would like to have the job, he said, you come to work for me in the morning. He said, in the meantime, he said, I have an apartment that you can have. He said, it's already furnished.
Wow.
So he took her and cheered in there and bought her something to eat and gave her enough money to eat off of that night, and that next day he come picked up, and she worked and worked and worked, and he helped her start up a janitorial service down there in Florence, South Carolina. And she when she gives that testimony, it really brings tears to your eyes. So I say that simply. A lot of time, you don't have to always have a complete story or a complete, as people like to say, complete roadmap of what direction to go in. But you have to understand, if the desire in your spirit to go, then you need to go, because a calling from God serves a lot of purposes. It just don't serve becoming a preacher or someone who sings or a rocket scientist or the doctor who's going to find a cure for cancer and diabetes and arthritis and stuff. But sometimes it's just a call just to move you from somewhere, especially when you see the evil that's going around. I think the worst thing we do in the world today is compromise with wickedness and evil that we really need to just separate ourselves from to live a better life. You could never, ever totally receive and be all that God has for you to be when you're just in the wrong place. I went through that and still college to a certain degree going through it years ago when I decided to come out the street and get into the ministry. I wanted to get out of driving a truck a long haul and get in the local, and that was a serious challenge, just find a local job because everybody was gobbling them up. And now I'm looking at getting out of driving a truck and getting into my own personal towing service probably next year. And when I mean, this ain't something I just thought about today. I mean, this is in the back of my mind and my spirit for about a year or two now. But I'm at a season now where some things are starting to take place because I started to make some preparations two or three years ago now to make it come out of the invisible into the visible, so I say to you. Worry about what is today, if it's in your spirit to do it. Sometimes, you know, it's just, you just have to just get up and move. In other words, a lot of times, instead of waiting on someone to come and put the bridle on the bull and saddle him up, it's good to just grab by the horn and take the ride.
Okay.
That's the life for a lot of people, especially when you know the changes that you're in. I feel like God has an angel watching over you to keep you safe and protected. But in the meantime, if you don't have everything situated as you would like to have today, at least start preparing yourself to move, and don't turn around when you start it. Don't stop
okay.
at it.
All right.
Yeah. Amen. Praise God. I want to chime in for a minute, Minister. Reverend Henry. I mean to cut you off. We're kind of on a time constraint, and we have to take a couple of callers. I'm going to give you this. I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't catch your name. If you could tell me your name one more time. Carmella, I definitely add you to the prayer list. And before we go to the callers, allow Lavinia to go to the callers, take a few calls. I want to give you some encouragement from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and also Proverbs, chapter 3 and 16. In Ephesians, just remember, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So understand right there that you're going to go through things, you know, not because you're doing something wrong, but because you are doing everything the Lord tells you to do. And see, the prince of this world, which is Satan, he, believe it or not, he knows your breakthrough before you get it. So he's going to try his best to keep you down. The way he can convince you, if you can believe that he has power, then that's the only way he can move to you. You have to remember that Jesus has already defeated him for you. So therefore, you have to get it inside of your mind. Don't faint at the tribulation. Just count it all joy, you know, and you bow down to the Lord and pray to him. Continuously let his praise be in your mouth, even though you don't know what's going on right now. You don't understand what it looks like. Continuously praise the Lord and continuously pray to him. And going on down in Ephesians 3 and 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. So Jesus is that inner person that's inside your life, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. So his love is going to carry you past anything that you may understand, but count it all joy. I don't want you to feel weary because you're going through. Just understand that you count that joy and you get happy. Okay, devil, you know what? I must be doing something right because you keep on trying to get me. Because one thing about it, Satan has to work extra hard to break a believer than an unbeliever. But what you remember is whatever the Lord has molded and brought together, Satan can't break it. He don't have power over God. So you stay encouraged, my sister, and I thank you for calling in. And you know, again, I didn't mean to cut you all in, but you kind of were on a time constraint, and we want to take some callers, and we want to have time to play your song. Lavinia, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, okay. I know you had to go to some callers and get that request in, and we kind of, you know, on I think we're on from 7 to 9, and so we want to make sure everyone gets a chance to get in, you know, and get these words of encouragement in.
But I thank you all for, you know, the encouragement and encouraging words and everything.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, my name is Minister Teresa Sanders, and you can, I don't know if you, are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I requested to.
Okay, good. Praise God. Because, see, and I'd love to talk to you, you know, and after the call, that's what I look forward to doing, being encouraging to you. I will take my time, and I would love to talk to you, you know, because I don't want you to be bothered. I want you to understand just how much God loves you. You know, count it all joy. You're going to go through stuff. That's what he's trying to do. Satan's trying to break you. That means you're on your way.
Thank you.
So you count it all joy and understand that the Lord let that trouble pass by your house and you're still here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Minister Sanders, if you wouldn't mind, you also have your conference line, I think 3 days a week, if you wouldn't mind giving her the information so she can definitely bring it to the altar, you know, on those days.
Oh, okay, yes. Yes, okay. I was going to do that later on. Okay. Yes, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Revelation of God's Restoration Ministries has a phone conference. Monday, actually, is each one bring one. It's our visitors' night, you know, and we have a guest speaker on Mondays and Fridays. You know, any night you can call in and give a testimony and get words of encouragement. But we're about teaching the Word of God, you know, and encouraging each other. Wednesday is strictly bring it to the altar, intercessory prayer. If you need a breakthrough, bring it to the altar. If you need to be delivered from something, bring it to the altar. We want you to bring your problems there because Jesus is on that call. Praise the Lord. I don't allow Satan there. He has to go in the name of Jesus. So when you come, you bring your problems, bring that anxiety, that depression, whatever you're going through, bring it to the altar. And when you leave off the call, we want you to take your peace back, your joy back. We want you to be happy when you leave off that call. And I'm a long-winded person. I will be calling you and micromanaging you and working on you.
I will make sure.
And so, and Fridays is a speaker session as well. It's, you know, Revelation of God's Restoration Ministries. And I'll make sure I get with you and give you that number.
Okay.
You know, also, before we go, while I have the flow, I want to quickly mention a friend that is, he was in a very bad accident. His name's Corey Barnett, and they're having a fundraiser for him Sunday, October 7th. At 5 o'clock p.m., this young man is a strong man of God. He has a 2-year-old child, you know, and a wife, and he had to have his leg amputated due to the motorcycle accident. He had severe brain injuries, you know, and he's not out of the woods, and he's still hospitalized. But he's going, and it's really been hard on their family. So if you like any information or if anyone would like to help him, you can please give Minister Marlos Barnett a call at 803-370-4861 or June Barnett at 803-322-6866 or inbox me. And I just wanted to get that in because we have to help each other. You know, we have to lift each other up, you know, and support each other. You never know when you may be on the receiving end, you know, need to be on the receiving end of that. You know, and just pray their strength in the Lord. They're active church members, you know, and truly love the Lord. This is really, you know, a devastating time for the family. And so we've been praying for them and, you know, keeping them lifted up in prayer. I believe Minister Marlos Barnett came on the call, you know, to support me, you know, and I'm not sure if he did or not, but he said he may be able to. He was, but pray for them. Okay, Lavinia, I'm long-winded. We'd be quiet.
It's okay, but Ms. Carmella, you do have the information to Minister Sanders' conference lines and the days.
Okay.
And you already sent her the friend request, so this way you can reach out to her as well. DQ Palace is here every Sunday from 7 to 9, and you're more than welcome to call in at any time.
Thank you.
And you can also contact us on Facebook as well. We have several pages.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
You know, as well. We will be playing your song. Within like the next maybe like 10 minutes. So if you can just stay on the line, we're gonna go.
I definitely will because I'm feeling better already. Honestly.
That's what it's all about.
That's right.
That's
right. Mm-hmm. Just just hold on to the line.
Okay.
We're going to
take another caller.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome to DQ Palace
Spiritual
Sunday.
Hello. How is everybody doing this evening?
Blessed.
Yes, good. Well, I'm blessed. You know, I thank the Lord for waking me up this morning and everything. You know, but what I really want to know is, like, and I need to ask y'all this. I need to know y'all opinion on this. Minister Reverend Sanders, you know how on Sundays they have these pastors, preachers coming on TV saying they could heal these people to get money. Then you have these preachers preaching to get money. Do you feel that's appropriate? How do you feel about that?
Ooh, Jesus. Ooh. Oh, my God. Let me say, Uncle, can I please take this one? Oh, great. I'll tell you what.
Okay, listen. I'm careful now.
I really need to know, because I'm like, because they praising them. Go ahead, I'm sorry, Reverend, go ahead.
I've been saying, you know, you really get to a subject not you really need to give a thorough answer to. But you go ahead and you roll with it, and I'll just sit back for a minute.
Yeah, because you're going to put the hand. He's
going to raise it. What I'm saying is, it's a power out here in the world that prevents a lot of things from happening. It's good to quote the scripture, and it's good to tell people to pray. But you also need to tell people how to pray, what to pray, and where to pray at.
Uh-huh.
You can pray for something. And I've been praying for some things over the past 10 years, okay? And they're coming into view. But we don't want to mislead people, you know, and get them, you know, if life is like a construction, you're going through life like going through a construction zone. Nothing is never, ever completed. Everything is always under construction. And as long as you are on your Christian journey, there's going to be always something that needs to be built or rebuilt or sometimes just tore down and gotten rid of altogether. So you go ahead. I'm gonna sit back and just kick you out.
Yes, because I feel like if they worship in God, why are they saying they're healing these people and taking money from people if they know that's not really what they're doing? And they all on national TV, and you understand? I need some enlightenment on this situation. I really do.
Well, I'll let her speak for a minute. Then if she gets through speaking, I'll come back and speak a minute on rich money.
When he speaks, he's going to give it to you. He's not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to come first, because he's more, I like for him to come behind me, because he's more, you know, he's my mentor. So, you know, if I leave out something, he's going to reprimand me for it, but he's going to bring it in.
Okay.
The thing is this, well, you have to realize that God has paid your price. What you owe the Lord is your praise. You owe the Lord your praise. You owe the Lord your diligence and your obedience. And if you are a member of a church, yes, you must pay tithing to that church. You know, you must pay tithing to keep that kingdom up. But you got to understand that there are many ways to pay your tithing. Just like what I just announced about what was going on with your brother in the accident. Don't you know what the form of you paying your tithes? You know, there's nowhere in Scripture that says you have to be under a certain church. The Lord says the body of Christ is one. The body of Christ is one. So wherever you choose, your very own body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So if you, just for example, if you take, say you're working and you have a family, you are a wife, you know, you have children, you got to realize that your very own home should be the Lord's sanctuary when he's supposed to be wherever you go. So it's not, many people say, well, I had to take my last and I had to pay my tithes. But no, that's not what God said. Okay, your tithes got to come in your household. You have to make sure that household, that godly household is kept up. These people on TV, well, you pay me for your breakers. No, the Lord means to be acknowledged in all his way, in all your ways. God the Father and Jesus the Son must be acknowledged. They don't mean for any man, woman, boy, or girl to take your place. So that person telling you, you pay me for your breakthrough, I'm going to intercede for you if you pay me, that is the devil, and the truth is not in them.
Okay.
That is a demonic spirit there. Don't do that. That's not what God said. Yes, it's okay. We have people that we can intercede on their behalf. Intercede means pray for them. You have people that can pray for you, but you, what you are supposed to be able to pay them is your attention. You give them your attention and you give them that prayer. But the thing is, the prayers of the righteous avail as much. So you got to be careful who you let pray over you. You got to be careful who you carry your burdens to, because everybody don't mean you well. That's what the Lord meant. I tried to find that scripture, my computer froze, because the devil don't want you to hear this. But it's on unfreeze, or my uncle may have it. That's what the Lord means when he says, also, my house of prayer has been made out of a den of thieves. Many people believe that's only talking about people coming selling things in the house of God. But it's very open. Anytime you rob God of his praise, when you don't acknowledge him, because that man can't bless you, he can't save you, he can't heal you when you're sick. When you pay him, it's God that blesses you. And if God the Father meant for anybody else but Jesus for you to receive, come through, then Jesus wouldn't have had to come here and die for us. He wouldn't have had to come here for you to. Jesus is your intercessor. He needs to be acknowledged, because no one in this world is fit to pray to God directly. You pray in Jesus' name. You have to pray in Jesus' name, not that man on TV. You know, Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or any of them, they can't take the place of Jesus. And that's the thing right there. That's a bad form of blasphemy that's taken so many people away. So many people are perishing for that lack of knowledge. And I'm just going to leave it right there. And Reverend Sanders, you pick that up and, you know, get that into him. But praise God, thank you for that question, brother. You that was a wonderful question.
I have another question, but I want Reverend Sanders to give me his insight on the first question I had.
All right. Well, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. Make sure I'm in the right one here. No, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after they have erred from the faith and filled themselves too with many sorrows. Okay, you have to understand when you look at Rich Money, which was on her website. Rich Money mainly is money that has power. In other words, you talk about rich money, you're talking about the power of money. That's really what that's dealing with. You look at the subject of rich money. People want to be rich to have power to dominate, control, manipulate. In the ministry, what they have basically done is they have came and exalted themselves above God. I heard a young lady say a couple weeks ago that she was not worried about getting into heaven, because if she gets to heaven, her pastor was going to stand up for her and tell God to let her in.
Jesus.
Well, that's impossible. There's no way you can do that. But the point I'm trying to illustrate is you have a lot of people who preach a lot of this false doctrine. And you have to also understand, for me to have control over you, I have to just come to you. Please, you can't find no place else but through me. So now come all this false doctrine about I'm going to pray to God for you, or I'm going to talk to God for you, when the scripture teaches us that Christ died on the cross, that we all have a right to talk to God for ourselves. When you read it in Matthew, it's talking about the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. Well, all that illustrated, now you don't need nobody to go to God, but you go to God for yourself. Chapter about the mall prayer in your secret closet. Okay, so people got to understand, you have just as much power to pray for yourself as anybody else. Matter of fact, you have more power, because I can pray for you, but God still wants to hear what's on your mind. In other words, it's like an alcoholic. I'm praying for, say, my brother to stop drinking or stop using drugs. But until he asks God to help him to stop drinking and stop using drugs, he has never acknowledged that he had a problem. And a lot of the pastors today want you to feel like you need someone to go to God, and that was eliminated when Christ died on the cross back on Calvary. It realistically cannot stand. You cannot replace God, and you cannot replace the work that Christ done. But they
That's
do
right.
it foolishly. They do it foolishly, and the Bible also speaks against them. It speaks about it. For a good example, when we go into the 10th chapter of Jeremiah, and you go to verses 21, and it speaks of, it says, "For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. They shall not prosper, and all their flock, it says, shall be scattered." When they sit up and talk about church hunting, make the change to leave off one of their dominant and their false doctrine. They're with certain people and doing people any kind of way in the church, supposedly in the name of the Lord. So what I'm saying to you, my brother, is simply this. You yourself talk to God, pray to God, and tell God what you want God to do. I often talk about going in the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms are prayers. There are prayers in the book of Psalms for just about anything that troubles somebody. But never, ever, ever believe that you need someone to do anything or to talk to God for you, because that's no such a thing. Christ died for that. When Christ died, and that veil was ripped, because you have to understand, there was a what they call an altar, a holy altar. Then behind the veil was the holy of holy altar that the priest went to and made the sacrifice on off you. But once that veil was ripped now, anybody now had the right to go to God, because you didn't need that altar. You then became the temples of God, whereas in the Old Testament, God saw places and buildings that his spirit rests in, but the scripture teaches us now that the spirit of God rests in a believer. So you yourself are always the temple of God, and being the temple of God, you have certain rights by God. And then it seems like it also speaks again when you get over here to the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah. I tell a lot of people they should read this chapter, where it tells us in verses, I think it's 16 and 17 here, where it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak of a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you." So they're letting you know, because they're false prophets, they promise all these things that's going to happen. It just don't happen because God didn't tell them. It went on now.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's right. And you know, to sum that up,
my head. And let you know right there the power that you have. So praise God.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm really glad y'all summed that up for me.
Yes. And also, sir, what's your name?
You want me to tell you who I am? I'm Richard. I am rich money.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. I feel so stupid. Oh, goodness. Well, Rich, oh, goodness, great. Well, you know what? Also, I want to leave this with you as well. That's why you didn't receive that in your spirit. Like Reverend Henry was saying, the Lord is not going to let his flock be scattered. So you come into the Lord, and you want to do, you know, good. So you're not going to, the Lord is protecting you, and you're not going to receive that. I'll give you one more scripture, 1 Timothy in chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So see, that no one else can do that for you. Yes, it's good. I can pray for you all day, you know, but you have to accept God for yourself. You have to give him your yes on your own. You know, you have to acknowledge him and pray for yourself, because Jesus died for you too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone tell you, you pay me, then I'm going to, your breakthrough is coming. The Lord says, flee from them. flee from them. That's not what you,
amen.
And that's why you didn't receive that in your spirit. Oh, my
okay.
God, good money. I'm going to get you later. Oh, my God. Oh,
I have one more question for you, okay? I was going down the block the other day, right? And I seen some people like they came from church. So I was like, well, you know, what church do y'all go to? Are y'all in a church, you know, a service? So they was like, no, we Jehovah Witness. So I said, y'all Jehovah Witness? She was like, yeah. I said, so what's the difference between Jehovah Witness and Baptist and Christian? And they was like, well, Baptist and Christian is, how they said it, they don't worship God like we do 7 days a week. And I, all the stuff she was just telling me, be Satanist. I'm like, well, you don't even know what my religion is for you to be telling me something like this. You understand what I mean? So you telling me I'm a Satanist because you don't even know that I'm Baptist.
You know, I just wrote a post on that. I've added me as a friend on. See, the body of Christ is one. It's like over 450 different denominations. And the reason that's so, that's of the devil. The devil needs the people of God separated. So that's where the confusion can come in. That's why you have a bunch of, I'm going to say this, homosexuals that join something. You have people that do, people who fornicate join another denomination who says it's okay. They don't want to go under what the Lord says. But keep in mind, the body of Christ is one. So I'll fellowship with the Jehovah's Witness. I'll fellowship with the Catholic. I'll fellowship with the Pentecostal. I'll fellowship with the Seventh-day Adventist. You know, as long as they are decent and in order with the Lord means for all of us to fellowship together. I'm trying to go onto my profile page where I just put a post up about that. If the Lord meant for us to be separated, what he would have done. But the body of Christ is one. Here it is. And the scripture I'm going to take you to is in Luke chapter 9, 46 through 50. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said unto him, whoever shall receive this child in my name, receive me. So right there, you got to receive that person. He didn't say, is this child a Baptist or a Jehovah's Witness? And whoever shall receive me, receiving him that sent me. So if you don't receive that person, you know, that came in the name of the Lord, you're not receiving the Lord. For he is the least among you. The same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him because he followed not with us. And Jesus, get this in your mind. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. So as long as that person is coming in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, then we're not supposed to reject them, whether they're Baptist, Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witness. If they of the Lord and they're following of the Lord, we're not supposed to turn them away. The Lord didn't say, well, what denomination are they? What are they doing? No, let that person go ahead and work those miracles. He's doing it in my name. She's doing it in my name. So you receive them. And if you don't receive them, you're not receiving me. So that's how that goes. Don't get wrapped up into that. Don't get wrapped up into that, you know. And so that's just the word of God. We got to take them directly to the word of God on that.
That's right. Right. And I just want to just add to that and just say that I think that even when you watch, you know, the church on TV, because there's even, you know, the shows that, you know, where people are on there saying that, you know, they can heal you, just and then, you know, sending money and come to this location and they can heal you. They have it, you know, at some of the churches where you can walk into the churches, and if it's a type of church where you can, you know, pay a small donation, and that pastor, you know, believes that they can heal you, you know. And my input is I believe in my heart that the best relationship that you have is your relationship that you have with God itself. You know, you can ask other people to pray for you, but the best way to pray is you're praying to God yourself. You know, that's
right.
The relationship, and that's the best relationship that you're supposed to have is between you and him. It's good that other people pray for you, but you shouldn't have to pay someone to pray for you.
Exactly.
You know, the best relationship, you know, is between you and God. That's you getting into your own circle, getting to your own zone, and you just be able to meditate, you know, with you and God. This way, any type of answers that you might need, it will come from him directly. And it's not going to be sugar-coated. He's going to give it to you exactly how he wants you to receive it. You just have to be ready to receive it.
And that's right, Lavinia. It's got to come from him. God is commanding. He's not asking us to praise him. He's commanding to be acknowledged. So, not, you know, I can pray for you. Lavinia can pray, you know, but we have to do it on our own. And she made a very strong statement. I wanted to make sure I repeat this again. That's right. You have to pray to the Lord for yourself. It's a commandment, and he will confirm it to you. To see what I would do, what we're doing is just giving a confirmation. If the Lord is going to bless you with something, he's going to give it to you first. He's going to tell you first, whether it's in a dream or a revelation, he's going to reveal it to you first. And what other people are going to come do, and they're going to confirm it for you. They're going to confirm what God has already given you. Nobody can give you the revelation from God because we're not in the mind of Christ. You know, we're not in his mind. We just got to keep in mind, people and callers, that God the Father or Jesus the Son is not meant to be replaced by no man, nobody. They need to be acknowledged in all our ways and what we do. And for reading the first book of Corinthians is a good book, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and also 2 Corinthians, and also the book of Colossians is good reading material. Just know that you have, the Lord didn't die for perfect people. He died for the prostitutes, the gamblers, the liars. He died for the ones who needed to be saved. He wouldn't have had to come and die for perfect people. So don't never let nobody make you feel because you're not exactly perfect that you can't pray. I got to pray for you because I'm not standing the way you are. No, the devil is a lie. Get thee behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Jesus
That's
died
right.
for me, too. So, you know, get that in your mind as well. Amen.
Thank you.
Are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Reverend Sanders. I'm still here.
Okay. And Alpha 2, you paying this money in these churches to receive certain gifts. Understand most pastors pay more attention to the tithe list than they do the sickness shut-in list.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be that way. And when you go over here in Matthew, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and you listen to this very careful. Starting at verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Understand this passage of scripture. There are going to be people who are going to be prophesying things that's going to come to be. May cast out devils and may be doing a lot of good work. But understand they're going to be doing that in a way that's going to be sinful. And it's not going to be pleasing to God. And I often say to people, if you've been in church, and you don't understand what these people have done and why God is displeasing them, you really miss something. I work every day, and I don't have time to really sit down at a computer like I like to, but I've been studying the Bible over 10 years, and as we speak today, I'm almost like receiving a master's degree in Christian theology. So still, I'm able to answer a lot of questions and answer a lot of things, and I have a page on Facebook, too.
Yes.
And I make an answer some things for you or anyone else from what the scripture says about it. I don't believe in telling you telling you to pray, and I can't show you a prayer to pray about what you need to pray about also. There's a lot of prayers that we all need to take time and learn. It's good to read the Bible, but you need to also get some understanding of what you read. I've been studying about 10 years. I don't know everything. I've got a lot of books here in my study. They explain everything from Genesis to Revelation. But still, everybody don't know that, and everybody don't know how to read. So, you know, I take the time by time to read to show you what Scripture actually says about the things. And when you read this Scripture here, you can better understand what's behind that when we talk about rich money. It's a thing of power. You have people want power. And what scares me about that, and the reason I don't do it, is there's no power greater than God.
Right.
No.
That's right.
So how can I not tell you Anytime I tell you, if you tied into my ministry, God's not going to bless you. What I am saying is, when you pay money to my ministry, that's going to move God on your behalf, and that's just not true. God moves because of your service, and that is of a pure heart, not with ulterior motives.
That's right.
Never understand anything on our Christian journey, on our Christian walk. Our heart is what moves God. When God sees a pureness in our heart, it is what moves him. You look at the book of Amos. Amos was just a farmer, a poor farmer. But God sent him, when it speaks about the plumb line, to put him in the middle of Israel to lead these people and teach these people. Christ now came back and died on the cross to be the plumb line for the world. Well, this is a true thing that we all can be guided by. Just like you working on a wall and you don't start the plumb line, everything now is laid on that line. And you trust that line to be straight. When you get through that line, the wall goes up straight, it's not crooked, and it's perfectly level. So we need to understand, everybody has the power now to talk to God.
That's right.
The money,
that's right.
One talk
right.
to God for you.
Right.
And this 7th chapter of Matthew, when it speaks of these prophets here who have done these works, I would really like to just sit down sometime and tell some people in the Bible what was wrong with what they did. Even though you have to understand, in the eyes of people, it's going to impress a lot of folks, but it did not impress God because there was evil behind what they did and the way that they did it.
Yes. Amen. Thank you so much, Reverend Sanders. I want to leave this with you, too, about how to pray. Understand this. This is how we pray. I'm just going to give you examples. Say someone wronged you. You know, you don't go and say, Lord, I hope that person plane crash. Lord, please just make that person plane crash. You know, you don't do that to see.
No.
The Lord is about joy, peace, restoration. We know that he's not about confusion. He's not about evil things. So will that remove any malice in your heart, any grudge that you have? And so now your heart is pure. And so now you can pray. And how you pray, you just talk to God. You ask him, you talk to God. You say in Jesus' name, whether it's at the beginning of your prayer or in the middle or at the end, you make sure you say in Jesus' name. Because remember, you're not praying to Jesus. You are praying to God the Father. Jesus came and he's an intercessor. He's how he's carrying. He's the name that you're praying in. But you're praying to God directly. So you pray to him, and however you choose to talk to him, that's how you pray to him. Many people, I used to be ashamed to pray out loud because I would hear someone, like I say my uncle, he really can pray. You know, a lot of good friends I know in the ministry, they can pray, and I'd be like, I mean, I can't pray like that. I don't want to, you know, and feel ashamed. That was the devil, you know. However you choose to talk to God, you know, as long as you are pure in your heart, you're not praying in with any evil contention, you know, or no grudge, guess what? That's how you pray. That is how you pray. And whatever you need from God, you ask him. And that same scripture that he gave you in Matthew 7, he says, for everyone that asketh, receives. Everyone that seeks, they'll find. And to him that knocketh shall be open. You know? So you just ask God and you seek him with your faith. You have to, but remember, you have to have faith. If you can believe it beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you can believe in the Lord, if you believe that God can and that he will, you know, without the shadow of a doubt, guess what? That's all you need to do. You talk to him, and you ask him for wisdom. And then those people, when he was talking about those false prophets that come to you in sheep clothing, how you recognize a person that don't mean you well, you look at their actions. The Lord says you'll know them by their fruit, meaning what they do. This person may say, I mean you well, but observe them. Look at what they're doing. Are they really doing you well? They say they'll be there, but are they really there? And just look at them. And guess what? As long as you pray to the Lord, as long as you're true to him, God is going to reveal it to you. The devil cannot remain a wolf. That wolf cannot remain a sheep. See, the clothes got to come off. The Lord is going to show it to you as long as you pray to him. So his word cannot lie. So make sure you keep yourself fit to receive the blessings of the Lord, and they are yours. Jesus died for this. They are yours.
Well, let me add something to that, what you just said. When a wolf puts on sheep clothing, if the skin does not never come off, it's not going to fall off. What you always look for is to see if his tail comes out and starts to wag.
Yeah.
Sheep wearing the tail, but a wolf has the tail. His clothes, his disguise ain't not going to come out. It's not going to fall off. But you keep your eye on him, sooner or later you see that tail wagging every now and then. Then you know he is a wolf. He can't eat. In other words, when he gets excited, that tail got to move, it got to wave. In other words, that unhealthy spirit have got to surface.
See, I always say this. The actors, just keep this in mind. At some point, the actors got to come off the stage and take a break. They got to come off the stage. The actor got to come off the stage. They can't stay on the stage forever, not an actor. But a true person who's already true, they don't have to change because they're true. You know, but an actor, they got to come off the stage. So that's how you keep that in mind. Amen, praise God.
Make that unholy spirit reveal itself. If it comes because of you, and the Spirit of God now has a place in you.
Right.
The Spirit of God has a place in you. That unholy spirit in someone else now has to reveal itself. That may get scary. Sometimes you first really done receive God in your life, and God is really walking with you now, and really leading you now, and really God guiding you now in the spirit in the way that you should go. When you meet people, and they just do things that are ungodly, but you have to understand, the closer you get to God, the closer God gets to you. Whenever the demonic spirit of the devil comes in your presence, it does not matter who it is in. That person always going to do something to reveal themselves. And the only thing we have to always focus on is learning what the Word of God says, that we can always recognize it. If you don't know what the Word of God says, you will never, ever recognize the devil in his clever disguise. That's why I tell folks all the time, learn the Word and learn it accurately. Do not just learn bits and pieces of it. Study it. It's good to read it. Certain readings do certain things, and certain readings do nothing for you. That's why I tell people to go to the book of Psalms. It's divided into, you hear a lot of people say it's 150 books, but that's not correct. It's divided into 150 divisions, which are divided into five books. Each book has a specific purpose and specific prayers in there. And if you have a Bible, then you put your pen or notepad and you write this down. Most Bibles you buy, when you go to the introduction to the book of Psalms, they'll have in there the five books, and some of them will have what each book represents, some of them will not. But the book I have, you'll have what each division of these Psalms represent. Be not amazed sometimes, you may be in trouble and turn to the book of Psalms and start reading a specific psalm, and later when you learn what each psalm was, that was really the psalm to read for whatever distress you were running into at that particular time and season in your life. So those are prayers. Psalms of prayer, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are books of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in this country that you, nothing out in your life you run into, nobody that you won't run into that you can't read in the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and find something in there that identifies their actions, especially when they are ungodly or all godly, whichever way it be.
Amen. Reverend Sanders,
amen.
I think Lavinia wants to go. Some powers and stuff. And you know, I'm enjoying talking about the Lord. I tell you, we can go on and on. But I know that a lady asked for the song we played, and other callers, you know, wanted to come on. So we'll give Lavinia a chance. She's so patient and quiet and humble. I tell you, she just lets us go often. yeah, but I want to be respectful you know, to the other callers who call in and, you know, want to speak and stuff.
Oh, I love it. But what we're going to do is I'm just going to give the phone number because we do have a lot of people that are listening right now. So I'm just going to give the phone number 646-200-3838 and press 1 to go on the air to speak to Minister Sanders as well as our special guest, Reverend Henry Sanders as well. We're going to go to a song, the song that I believe Carmella requested. So we're just going to take just a brief intermission. We're going to go to her song, and then we'll come back and we'll take another call.
Amen.
All right.
With all of my heart, yeah, with all of my heart, yes, I will. And I won't leave to my own understanding in all of my. Place. Turn it into to an altar. Get down on your knees. Lift your hands. Open your mouth. Throw your head back. And just begin to call the name of Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Jesus. Call him Lord, to Lord.
By one of the callers, Carmella, you that I trust. I just want to explain to Reverend Sanders and Minister Sanders, Rich Money is actually the name. He's the owner of GQ Palace Radio.
I know.
So when Reverend Sanders said Rich Money, my face was like, you know, like, how do you know that, you know? But then he did explain, you know, exactly what he was, you know, saying, which was such a coincidence because that is, you know, that's his name for the show. That's not his birth name, you know, but that he's actually the CEO and host of, you know, the whole GQ Palace. Reverend Sanders, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, we're going to go to another caller, okay?
Cool.
Okay. Welcome to GQ Palace Spiritual Sundays.
Hello, good evening, all.
Good evening.
Hi.
I would like to say I look forward to calling in on Sundays to GQ Palace. I feel like I'm in church, Bible study, and prayer meeting all in one. It's such a blessing to sit and listen to so many anointed people talk and exchange, you know, stories, and I feel like I'm also in school. I'm learning, and I'm able to, you know, I take my notes and I pass it on to other people, and I just want to say God bless you all, and I love you, and thank you, GQ Palace.
You are so welcome, and you know that's, you know, what GQ Palace, you know, is about. You know, when the show first started, you know, the goal for the show was to be able to bring people together nationwide, you know, especially the sick and shut in that are unable to get out and go to church. You know, we want to be able to, you know, set a foundation so they could still call into, you know, a show, or they can actually, if they're listening on their PC, they can listen on Blog Talk Radio. So being able to help set up a format, you know, for such a show is a blessing all by itself. You know, and we at GQ Palace, we just feel like we're, you know, the foundation of the show is what's going to, you know, help everyone, you know, and nationwide, you know, not just, you know, in New York where we are, where we're located, but nationwide to everybody, everywhere. And, you know, that's what it's about. And I humbly thank you, you know, for calling in, you know, on Sundays, because it's greatly appreciated and people get to hear, you know, what you're thankful for, as well as your testimony and song requests. And I think that that's a blessing by itself.
Thank you. And you guys are so welcome. God bless you all, and I will continue to pray for each and every one of y'all. And please continue to pray for Rachel.
We will.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Amen. Praise God. You know, the Lord rewards diligence. He rewards diligence. You touch my heart. You say you call in, you know, and you take notes and you pass it on to others. You are doing the charity, you know, and the love at the same time. You know, you are doing that work of the Lord. And so the Lord is seeing you, and you're having the patience. It takes your patience to call in on this call. You know, for 2 hours, you're giving the Lord your patience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
His work that's working in you, making your patience perfect, you know. And so you're gonna be just fine. The Lord is going to reward you. He rewards that diligence that you're doing, you know. And just
mm-hmm.
with your faith that you're having, you're going to be blessed just for that. So I thank God for you. That's a testimony. You gave a few of them at the same time. You know, I'm calling in, I'm taking notes, and, you know, I'm spreading the word. I mean, she has the love of the Lord. She got the charity he asked for, the patience. All right, now, so let me let whatever spiritual gift you might have, you know. So I thank God for you. Thank God for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome. Well, you just continue to listen in, of course, and we thank you for calling in and, you know, fully giving your commitment and, you know, continue doing God's work.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you. God bless, and I love y'all. I will stay listening
okay.
in.
All right, thanks. Mm-hmm. I must say, I'm just sitting here and, like, just happy and excited. Just happy and excited, you know. Definitely when people, you know, call in and, you know, you guys are able to just go through the scripture and just let them know the scripture itself. Like, you can reference this
mm-hmm.
and this, and that's a blessing. That's truly a blessing. And, you know, I thank you. You know, I thank both of you for, you know, for being on. And when Reverend Sanders was talking last week, and he was just, you know, I'm not at home right now next to my Bible, but he had us all
mm-hmm.
trying to find it, you know, to be able to, you know, share the information on, you know. And I have to say, I went to work. I said, listen, you know, for those of you who missed the show, you know, if anyone has any questions about prayer, please make sure that you do, you know, go to Psalms. I tried to remember exactly, you know, each chapter, but only thing I remembered was that it is it's broken into different divisions, and on each, the title on each page, they're able to pray for whatever it is that they're going through. Like, it had different titles on it. So this way, when I was able to pass it along to everyone, you know, I had, you know, the one of my coworkers was just like, you know what, I need one just for courage and strength. I need to be able to, you know, just pray, but not just, and a lot of people don't know how to pray, you know, which
mm-hmm.
is, you know, important. That's why I thank, you know, Reverend Sanders for actually giving the information, because that
yeah.
was, you know, that was something that right there, when I went to work and I said, listen, Psalms, go Psalms. Get your Bibles when you go home, go to Psalms, you know. And when we came back into work, I said, did you go to Psalms, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's
did you
right.
go to it? Did you check it out, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I know I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I
yeah,
paid attention,
yeah.
you know. And,
do you still have the Psalms?
Yes, I do.
You have it written in order.
I don't have it written in order, but I have my Bible, and depending on what I'm going through, and instead of me just, you know, praying, you know, just for the, you know, the courage and the strength and the wisdom that I need to get by on a day-to-day basis, as well as thanking God for waking me up, you know, I just, you know, I go to what might impact me that day, you know, and my day is, you know, my work, the type of work I do is very complex, and it's complicated, and you know, sometimes the praying for the courage and the strength is what I need in my safety, you know, because I do work with, you know, children, you know, at a psych hospital. And it's, you know, it's hard. So you need to, you know, me personally, I just always pray for the courage, strength, and wisdom. And I make sure that I, you know, pray for patience, you know, pray for patience.
Do you have something to write it down with tonight? Because I'm at my house tonight, and I'm in my study. And I have my Bible that I've been reading out of since we've been on the program.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
always ready to write.
Yeah. Well, before he says that, if I could chime in for a minute, just so they know, I wanted to comment you, Lavinia. You know, like you said, you took down the scriptures and you're going through, you know, and you're being patient and reading So I just wanted y'all to keep in mind that these scriptures that we give, you know, I thank God for Reverend Sanders, is definitely a wonderful mentor. Sometimes he's a little too hard on me, but I love him. You know, he's a wonderful mentor. He, you know, take him down and read him. But just remember, when you pray, talk to the Lord. You have to go to him yourself. Start talking to the Lord and ask him, you know, if you want to be able to pray better, say, Lord, you know, I don't really know what to pray for. Start praying to the Lord for his Holy Spirit to come upon you, because his Holy Spirit teaches you what to say. Excuse me, the Holy Ghost in Luke chapter 12 and verse 12, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you may say. So begin like Lavinia did. Have patience. You know, like to call into these spiritual Sundays. Call in. You know, start being dedicated to these causes. You know, call into them. You know, and take down the scriptures that we give, and then start talking to God. And remember, how you pray is how you pray. Don't worry about it. This person, they may put their words together better than you think you can. Don't worry about that, because guess what? The more you pray and you be patient, patience is going to have its perfect work. And if the Lord wants you to be edified better as far as in your speech, you know, if he wants to do that, he'll give you that gift. And you'll see, because I used to have a stuttering problem. I used to have a stuttering problem, but the Lord removed that from me. The more I prayed and started worrying about what man had to say, when I say man, I mean, you know, woman, man, or whoever, criticizing you. Because the devil will try to make you shame to pray and keep you away from the Lord. But I had to do away with that. Get thee behind me, Satan, and start doing what Lavinia did and start praying, you know, and listening, being humble, not thinking I know it all. You know, and start praying and asking God, and he blessed me with that. The Holy Ghost teaches me what to say, you know, so that's how you do that, you know. And so I want the callers to just understand, it's no, don't worry about how good the next person may speak or, you know, or pray. You pray to God how you pray, because when you go and try to pray how somebody else pray and sound how they sound, that's when you're being fake. And how many of you know the Lord don't deal with that? He don't want that statement. He wants you to be real and be true, because Jesus is true. God is true. So we got to be for real for the Lord, you know, and that's how that goes. And all those other scriptures that, you know, Reverend Sanders is going to give, that's good reading material. And if faith comes, your faith will be strengthened by hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when you get these scriptures, take them, you know. Don't just push them to the side and, oh, I'll look at them when I'm going through something. Look at them when you're not going through something. Praise the Lord when you're happy, and praise him even more when you're down. And that's how the Lord is going to give it to you. And the Holy Ghost will lead you on what to say and how to pray.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you done for a minute?
Yes, I'm done. You know what? I was so done. I am done. I tell you, how you fired on me. I told you I was coming out.
No. I didn't want to interrupt you. That's all. That wasn't trying to be
I'm done.
I don't want to cut in on you. I want to make sure you was done saying everything that you know you had to say.
I'm done. I wanted you to get, when you give them kind of, I don't want to speed you along. I know it's over at 9. I think you want to take a couple of more callers and stuff, so kind of, you know, like give them. And I think she got to take a few more callers. Shut up, Lavinia.
I want to ask and just inject something very, very important to the listening audience. Please, sir, please, ma'am, understand. God answers, well, let me say it first of all, that what they call, in the Bible, it speaks of what they call a vain, repetitious prayer, which is a vain prayer. A lot of times it's vain because of your heart's attitude. When you go in the 12th chapter of Matthew, starting at verse 34, it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Then it goes on to say, good man out of good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good fruit, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Then verse 36, and this is the main one. But I say unto you that every hour word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37 says, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So I take the time to let anyone know, be careful what you say and make sure that it is of God. Don't half do it. Give it to people something that's going to really benefit them, something that's going to really help their heart. If you don't have a clean heart and a pure heart, and you have to understand the devil comes against you with all kind of trials and tribulations and tests simply to keep a bitterness in your heart. That's what it's all about. It's not. If he can keep bitterness in your heart, then most of the time your prayer is going to be a vain prayer, because it's just like if I'm in a tumultuous relationship and I'm praying to God to get rid of my husband or get rid of my wife, that's more or less some kind of vain prayer. Understand what I'm saying? Because God's not going to get rid of them because you're afraid to just walk away from them. It don't work like that. But God gives you through his word the power to do that thing. And back to you, Ms. Lavinia, when we get into the introduction of the Psalms, as I spoke to you last week about it, 150 divisions, that they're divided into five books. I hope you have something to write this down tonight. Book one deals with praises. And it goes from Psalm 1 to Psalm 41. It deals with praising God. Book 2 deals with God's power. And it goes from Psalm 42 to Psalm 72. Then you have Book 3 that deals with forgiveness. It goes from Psalm 73 to 89, which deals with prayer that you can forgive people totally. Not speak it, but you have totally forgiven somebody. And that takes time, so don't get discouraged if it don't happen the first or the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, ten, twentieth, fifth, is only time you do it. But this is what this is about. Then book four deals with thankfulness to God, thanking God, which goes from Psalms 90 to 106. And then book five deals with deliverance, which goes from Psalms 107 to 150. And they're in that order, and that's normally what they are. We have to understand that sin is always rebellious against God. Sin will always be punished. A life of consecrated righteousness hates sin. God loves each of us and is concerned for every area of our lives. We can approach God just as we are with all our concerns. A life of praise is a life of victory. God can be trusted during our times of sorrow as well as our times of joy. If we remember these things to help keep this bitterness out of our spirit, then these psalms now may help us to praise God, that we have God's power, that also, because we have forgiven God, now forgives us, and then we can be thankful to God for all that he's brought us through, and we can continue to hold on to God's word and study God's word, that we continue to always have deliverance, no matter what we run into out here. As I earlier said, problems are not bad as long as they have solutions, but when problems come without solution, then you need to consider your ways and see if they are in line with the ways of God.
And I have to thank you for that, because usually, you know, when I think of it, I just think, okay, well, you know, what is the solution? You know, but then when I sit and I think more, you know, and I pray about it, you know, most of them, you know, have solutions, and they're right there, you know, in front of my face. I just have to be able to accept the solution, you know, and continue on. And I think that, you know, that would be one of my, you know, shortcomings. It's sometimes when you think that there is no solution, and the solution, you already know the solution to the problem. You just have to be able to accept the solution, you know, and to, you know, keep going. You know,
well,
so
understand your heart can help be pure if you're not willing to make some changes. If we learn a lesson in the Bible, when the Bible told Abraham to go to a strange land, all that was give around family and friends and their opinions. That he could hear what God had to say. That's all that was. So oftentimes we've got to just learn to get away from them. What we call them, the haters and the debaters, the dream stealers, you know. Once you get that in your foundation, you really now have something solid to build on. It's hard.
Right.
It's hard to build a good foundation in faith in God's word when you've got people doubting. When you look at Nehemiah, when he was building the wall, and they talked about Sanballat and Tobias, how they marked them and stoned them when they were doing the work. That's just people. But we got to be willing to let go of some places, some people, and some things.
Right.
That's been my greatest push. You just let some things and some places and some people go. And get new. And stay new.
Mm-hmm.
God help you, don't never turn around and go back where you come from.
My mom always tells me that something that she said I have to always think about is that joy comes in the morning. And I never, when I was younger, I didn't really understand what she was saying. You know, like, okay, joy comes in the morning. And then she just said to me, think of it this way. Before you go to bed, make sure you pray. When you wake up in the morning, make sure you pray. And each day is a new day. And your life, your plan is already written out for you. When you try to change it yourself and not live according, you know, to God's word and live Christ-like, then you're the person that's trying to, you know, damage, you know, what's already written out for you. So when she used to say it to me, joy comes in the morning, now I understand, you know, but back then I did not understand, you know, what she was, you know, explaining to me, you know. But I do want to ask both of you, what advice would you give to some of the younger adults or just younger kids who are not living Christ-like or who are not familiar with God? You know, what would you tell them to get them to, you know, do the right thing? And, you know, a lot of them have been, you know, wrong, like someone has done them wrong, you know, in their life. So they tend not to believe. You know, they say, okay, but if God is real, then why did he allow this to happen to me? You know, why didn't he stop this from happening? What would you say, you know, to someone who would say that to you?
Okay. What I'm gonna tell them? Okay. Yeah. First of all, yeah. He comes. First of all, no matter who it is, they have to be willing to make a change. I'll just give them. I would say it to them like this: when you get good and tired of what you're going through, you know, when you realize that you need help, when you realize that, then come to me, and then you'll receive what I'm going to tell you. Because how many of you know, until a person is ready to change, it doesn't matter what you tell them. They're not going to understand it. They're not even going to try to receive it because they're in darkness, and darkness will not comprehend the word of God. They will not comprehend the light, and that's in the book of John in chapter 1. So just getting them willing to. Along the way, I'll give them encouragement and say, hey, look, you know, we have to do right by each other. You know, how would you feel, like I was saying earlier, how would you feel if the only time someone talks to you is if they need something from you? You know, and get to them, kind of convict their spirit and help them always have a smile on your face, no matter what you're going through. Have a smile on your face and let them see the Jesus in you instead of only hearing you say it. And so entice them to want to know. And so, and that's how you grab the men. But don't try to shove the word down their throat, because the Lord does not allow us to do that. Even God will not force his word on us. You know, we either choose him or we don't. If we say yes to him and we're willing to receive him, then, you know, he'll minister to us. Then he'll send those different people in our lives to help us, no matter who we are. But he also protects his sheep, so he's not going to deliberately send someone like myself or like, you know, like you, Lavinia, or like what Rick did. He didn't receive that man on TV, tell him to come to him. Something in his spirit stopped him. The Lord is going to protect the ones that are following him from those people. So the first thing, they got to be willing to receive the Lord. Someone don't believe. It's one thing if they don't know. But if they don't know, then that's one thing. But if they're saying, I heard about Jesus, I know, but I don't believe in him, okay, you got to shut it down right there. All you can do is pray for that person to come out of their way, but not force the Lord on them. you know, you just go ahead, you pray for them and go about your business. So if they're willing to receive him, then entice them that way. Let them continue to see the Jesus in you, no matter how much they may hurt you, you know, how much they may lie on you or talk about you. You keep on smiling. They're gonna say, wow, you know, this person's going through so much. This person may have lost their job or their mom, but they're smiling. What's making them so happy? I want to feel how they feel. And see, now they're seeing the Jesus in you. They're seeing the Lord flow through you. And they're going to want to change. And see, now you can start giving it to them, giving them the word of God. And they'll receive it that way. But as long as their back's turned, they don't want to receive it. It's really nothing you can do but pray for them. Pray for them. And that's all the Lord allows us to do. He commands us to do it that way because he teaches in love, not confusion, you know, or anger. He teaches in love. He even chastises in love. So we have to always remember to be led by the Lord in what we say and what we do with them. And I'm done.
Okay. All right, amen.
The first thing
I would do with a young person is introduce them to a couple of scriptures. Most of the time, young people today, first of all, they don't believe in God because they don't understand what His word says, what His power is about, versus the power of the devil. For a good example, when you go into the book of Psalms, and it says that, Psalms 91, verse 11 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Well, a lot of people don't understand what they're speaking about until you take a minute to explain it to them. You really kind of lose what that passage of scripture there is simply saying is that God, the Spirit of God, will not lead you into nothing that will hurt you or harm you or simply destroy you.
Right.
So now when you have people in your life who are leading you into these kind of directions, then that's nothing godly about them. You have to understand, and also there's a passage where it says that God hears not the prayers of the sinner. Well, that's not a true statement. What that's referring to is, and what that's talking about is, when you commit a sin, there comes a punishment behind the sin. Yeah, God hears your prayer to deliver you, but God may not all the time listen to you. Like a friend of mine that caught HIV, got HIV infected, but God didn't deliver from the HIV infection. Samson's a good example that he told Lila to strengthen in his hair, but God didn't replace his eyes because the Philistine burned him out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times we got to understand as young people, when we do certain things, automatically happen behind that, but a lot of them do not believe or they don't understand that when someone tells them to go and do certain things, that's the enemy. That's not your friend. But you've got to first get them to understand from God's word what separates an enemy from a friend. And until you can get them to understand what separates an enemy from a friend, you're not going to never get them to believe in nothing or even you, even though you may be a friend. You know, Galatians tell us 6:1, if we say our brother overtaken on the fault, it say, ye which are spiritual, restore such as one, lest we ourselves be taken in our judgment in the same fault. And all that letting you know is, if you've got a problem with a person on drugs, and you don't try to help them escape, and God come along and do help them get off of drugs, when you get on, you may not. So we got to first get our young people to understand who is a friend and then who is the enemy. And I found out once they understand that, and once they get that concept in their mind, it makes a world of difference in their life. Then we also got to get them to understand that because they're young, that don't mean that they have no special protection from death, that they can always die. A lot of them believe that, you know, because at the funeral they always preach that the days of our years are 80 and 10, and just by reason of strength, they are 80, which is in Psalms 90:10. But what that is, Moses was talking about the people in the wilderness, how long they live. You're not guaranteed no certain amount of life. The Bible lets you know you can shorten your days. So they've got to understand they can shorten their days, and then they also got to try to get them to understand who is really a friend and who is really an enemy. And it's so sad that many young people think that they have a friend who's an enemy, you know, until the enemy reveals himself. And when they reveal themselves, then it's too late. You know, you're already in jail doing time. You're doing hard time. Nobody shows up to see you, send you a dollar to buy a cigarette with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that work real good with them. It's good to get them in scripture, but it's also good to be there and explain scripture to them, because you just can't tell them to go home and read the Bible. You need to try to explain the Bible to them and what they're reading, like this song I just went over, you know, Psalm of Verses 12. You know, nobody understands what that's talking about, but that's what that's letting you know is the Spirit of God and anybody godly not going to lead you nowhere. And first of all, where you can dash your foot, and they talk about their prayers, they'll bear you thee up, and other than the Spirit, God will lead you away from destruction. But you've got to also have your heart now in the right of standings, and there's got to be a holy temple that now the Spirit of God can speak to you, as I spoke to you earlier, about just simply separating yourself from people, places, and things. You can't hear God if you listen to everybody else, what they've got to say, and their opinion. You never hear it.
What I used to say to some of them, you know, some of them do go to church, and, you know, some of them were, you know, raised in the church. But a lot of things, you know, have happened to them, you know, being, you know, molested or being abused, you know.
They don't find God in the church nowadays. People don't understand. When you hear somebody say, I need to go start going back to church, that person is realistic saying, I need to go back to God. Well, they go back to the church looking for God, and they don't find God in the church. If I'm in the street, in the drug house, the little house, the gambling house, the dog fight, the chicken fight, you know. When people say, I need to go back to God, it's sad. When they say, I need to go back to the church, that they don't find God. And a lot of people think, well, because if I go to church, I'm going to find God. Well, sometimes, you know, he ain't there. Because he's not in the people who's there. It's just a building.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They spend money for the entertainment.
Which is true, because, you know, a lot of them find, you know, the love that they're looking to get, you know, from, you know, a family member, from a, you know, a mother, father, aunt, uncle. They find that in the gang. You know, when they find, you know, that love in the gang, a lot of them are quick to stay with the gang, you know, because this is their brother, you know, this is their brother, this is their sister, this is someone that's like their father, you know. And that, I can say, it's hard to try and even, I'm going to say convince, you know, because when I try to speak to them, I try to get them to understand that there's always a way out, you know, but a way out meaning you have to be able to leave the gang but not run your mouth. You know, you have to be able to become silent, you know, for a while, you know, and stay away from certain things and don't do things. But, you know, once they leave the facility that I'm in, you know, they go back to the streets, you know, and then
well,
they end up coming back, you know, once. You know, once the cops find them, you know, or the placement finds them, they bring them right back. And it's the same thing all over again. And it's, you know, it's kind of redundant, but it's the same thing that happens, like, all the time, you know, where they can't find that love from someone that they want. The person they really want the love from, they can't get it from. You know, they get it from the gang, which is their sisterhood, their brotherhood.
Well, I meant to say something about that last week about leaving the gang, but you hit it, the nail on the head. Secrecy. Nobody can find you when you relocate unless you call someone to tell somebody where you are. They don't understand how there are what you call snitches within inside the circle of the game. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that. They just can't comprehend that. Also when you talk about getting them to about the love, keep it simple. Understand. If you get into a fight and somebody jump into the fight with you, normally you think that somebody loves you. But there's a difference in someone getting into a fight with you to say save your life because they want to be able to continue to use you if you're living. Whereas
right.
Now you done got a child and you need somebody to watch a child to go for a job interview or to go on your job and nobody has time.
That's right.
That's how you present them kind of examples to them. Now you can really get them to kind of distinguish between them a true friend and an enemy. So young people got to understand a lot of people love you because they can use you. They look for somebody to use.
That's right.
As long as they can use you, they love you. But you get in jail, get hurt, get crippled, you don't see them. I'm glad God showed me that when I was young. I got to a car wreck, and I was broke up. And it took me, I think, 9 months to heal. But I didn't see nobody who I'd ever given a ride, who was my running buddy. I didn't see none of them until I got my next car. When I got my next car, they didn't ride in that one. And to this day, I still run by myself. I don't run no more with no crowd, no crew. I'm either by myself or whomever I'm taking out to go eat dinner or getting a ride to church or something like that. But that for that crew, no. If you ride your own stuff, you get your own way.
Right.
And I think if you can bring that some, you get you rich.
Mm-hmm. Before we end,
explain it to them what you're talking about, where they can understand it. Don't give it to them; they can't understand it. If they don't understand it, you might as well talk to the secret.
Before we end the show, I do want to give out some information. My mom, who is a breast cancer patient, everyone knows, and those of you who don't know, next month is October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And trying to help, you know, build my mom's spirits, we are taking part in a walk, a breast cancer awareness walk, and we're looking for people to sponsor my mom in the walk. And the way they can do that is they can go to makingstridesagainstbreastcancer.com, and they can type in GQ Palace / Ethel's Angels. And anyone's able to make a donation there. All of the proceeds do go to the breast cancer awareness to help find a cure. So anyone that's looking to donate or that's looking to walk, we're taking part in the walk that is at Dowling College. It's in Long Island, William Floyd Parkway, and that is Sunday, October 14th, and that's 8 a.m. So anyone that's just looking to either support online or looking forward to the walk to help, you know, support breast cancer and the patients as well, they can always take part in the walk. They can contact myself or any member at GQ Palace, and we'll be able to give them the information. But I do want to thank you, Minister Sanders. Is there anything that you want to say before we close?
Yes, I was wondering if I could mention our ministry as well. Revelation of God's Restoration Ministries, we visit nursing homes, hospitals, shelters, we visit prisons, jails, and we go door to door in efforts to teach the word of God to those unable to go, you know, and would still love to receive the word. We have a phone conference Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you'd like to call in, that number is, what's the number? It's 712-432-3100, access code 566-728, and I post this in the ministry. Also, we would like if you, we're not asking for any specific amounts, but if you like to make a donation, you know, if you have any Bibles you like to donate, learning materials, or a monetary donation, we really would appreciate that. And like I said, we're not asking for any specific donations, just to help our ministries. If you'd like to donate, send a money order to Revelation of God's Restoration Ministries. Make it payable to Revelation of God's Restoration Ministries, and that's at P.O. Box 2683, Lancaster, South Carolina, 29721. And if you need any more information, you can contact me, Minister Teresa Sanders, at 803-288-3559. Or contact me on Facebook and send a friend request. And we thank you already in advance and pray that the Lord blesses you. Thank you, Lavinia, for having me on and allowing me to do that.
Oh, you're welcome, and you know you're welcome anytime. Reverend Sanders, is there anything that you would like to say before we close?
Oh, yeah, I'd just like to take a moment to let your listeners know that I have a Facebook page. It's Henry Sanders, and they can send me a friend request as well. And I'll be happy to send them my cell number where they can call me, maybe get with a group of people and sit down and just talk and go over some things in general. I know we don't have enough time to really get into this, really into an in-depth study on the air, and that's understandable. So a lot of times, you know, you have to take the initiative to do something that's probably is a little bit more effective. I'm very passionate about different individuals actually understanding and learning what the scripture is actually saying to you. And I think that's so important in anyone's spiritual development and spiritual growth, especially someone who is a babe in Christ or someone who has made their mind that they're ready to turn away from the devil and his tactics, and they just need to know how to do it or how to get out of the gang and get away from the gang and not be found again by the gang. It's sad when you keep running to people just like the people you run away from. And scripture teaches us how to do all that. But you need someone sometimes to sit down and explain to you from scripture how to do it. And I've got a book here that's got over 600 different topics that people in general run into. And I don't mind sharing it with someone. That's really my job now. And that's really what I work for. I'm happy to ask a friend request. You know, I don't mind meeting you in private sometimes. I mean, I use a counsel drug addicts. You know, they might call me 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. They're about ready to eat. And, you know, I get up and go and meet them somewhere, have a cup of coffee, a glass of tea, buy them a meal. When you get away from stuff like that, people got to understand them craving hits you. And you reach out to someone, someone needs to reach out back to you. Not give you a number to you, call such and such and such one. This ain't my day to have such and such and such a thing. It don't roll like that. Either totally committed to it or get on through and let someone else handle it. You know, ain't no big deal. You know, everybody can't handle everything. A lot of times people talk about doing something and get out of doing the work. Then they get weird and they're well doing. And they're ready to throw up their hands. So I fight for people. I don't mind helping people fight because I know you can win if someone just take the time to show you how. If someone will show you how to catch a fish, then you don't have to ask them to give you a fish. You always feed yourself. And I feel that's a very powerful, simple philosophy.
Please take that information now, you guys, because, that's what we do. We teach, you know, Bible studies and stuff like that, and we give ongoing support, you know. We're not just going to throw you the scriptures and leave you there. You can call us. We'll talk to you. We'll pray for you and teach it. So thank you so much, Lavina, for the opportunity and having us on the show. You know, we truly appreciate it, and we're going to be looking forward to calling in each Sunday and, you know, giving support and learning as well.
Yeah, thank you too, Lavinia. You're one of my Facebook friends now, so you have access to me when you need me for whatever.
Okay, and I thank you.
You're trying to get them out of the gang or whatever.
And I thank both of you for being on the air. You guys are welcome anytime. You know, DJ Palace is here every Sunday. Spiritual Sundays is here every Sunday from 7 to 9. And you can call in anytime. You're free to come on whenever you want to. We all have each other's phone numbers, and we can, you know, contact each other that way or at Facebook as well. So just to end in closing, I just want to thank you guys again for joining me and making Spiritual Sunday a success. And I do thank all both of you for the messages that both of you have delivered to us this evening. And what I do is I also put the link on Facebook for anyone that has missed the show. And for anyone listening right now who has just tuned in, you can go to blogtalkradio.com, type in GQ Palace, go to GQ Palace Spiritual Sunday, and you're able to listen to the archives. So any information that you might not, that you might have missed, you can listen to it on the archives, and you always rewind it or sort it to get all the information that you need. You can reach all three of us on Facebook, and I look forward to working with both of you. And Minister Sanders, I will definitely be calling in. And I just want to thank you once again.
Yes, and tell Rick I'm going to get him for what he did tonight. I'm going to get him for what he did.
Hello? Hello? You there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Go get what now?
Oh, no, I was telling Lavinia, the founder, the one, he snuck up on me. He got me good.
Oh.
Get him for that.
Well, thank you guys once again, and have a blessed and safe weekend. And for all of the listeners, have a blessed and safe week. Take care.
All right. God bless.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen. Come on and let me see those hands there tonight. I made it.